the scripture reading for this evening will be taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
My topic tonight is going to be on the fishers of men and how to be fishers of men in our modern-day society, but to stay close to God's Word and not fall far away from it at all. My reason for picking this topic is because I feel that it is one of the most important topics in God's Word for us and others to learn. The reason why I say that is because we all know that our number one goal in life is to get as many souls to heaven as possible. If everyone doesn't already know, my favorite sport is fishing. It's my favorite sport because it's the only sport that during practice, the only person that's griping at you is your dad whenever you throw a $15 fishing lure in the tree, and you can have as many water and snack breaks as you want to. So it's not really a true sport, but I want to call it that. That kind of fishing is fun, but it's not the kind of fishing I want to share with you tonight. The story about the fishers of men in the Bible goes like this. It's Matthew 4:18-20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straight away they left their nets and followed him. You might have heard this story before, but since it's our number one goal in life to get as many souls to heaven as possible, it will only benefit you and your zeal to tell others about Jesus. Sort of our theme tonight is facing the world at school and for adults in the workplace with every worldly circumstance that comes our way. At my school, there are over 1,600 students, and I can almost guarantee that the majority of those kids at my school have not been reached by the direct scriptures of God and been told the basics like even the steps of salvation, for example. Another verse in the Bible that speaks about fishing people out of the world and teaching them about God is Mark 16:15-16. It says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. So this is our commandment, to be fishers of men and go to everywhere and tell everybody about Jesus. My next point is taken from Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. This is telling us to not shun the world and still go into the world and not be scared of the world, but do not join in with the big crowd and be transformed, but be changed by what we see and stick close to God. My final point tonight will be taken from John 14:15. This is definitely my shortest verse, but it's probably the most powerful verse. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So being a fisher of men is certainly a commandment of God. So being a fisher of men would be a way to show God our love, and that can help by getting more souls to heaven. Being a fisher of men is an extreme task that God has given us. The hardest part for some may be building up the courage to speak to others, or it may be building up the courage to talk about God's word, period. But with the help of God and a lot of praying and a lot of studying, it can definitely be done. It won't be easy, but we're guaranteed a spot in heaven if we keep His commandments, if we keep God's commandments. The last thing that I want to tell you is that this week I want you to be a fisher of men and tell at least three people about the church, or even just one person, and I guarantee you that you'll feel more accomplished in your spiritual life. Thank you for your time and attention.
Good evening. Today I'll be talking about the topic of trying to stay valuable in the world.
Now, everyone here has some times where we just fall short. We have to stay positive and bounce back up. Well, school's starting back up and everything. It's a challenge for some of us, especially if you play in sports. We as Christians have to do what's right, even when we are with friends. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, walk worthy with the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love. We all have different ways to think of this particular topic, but for me, I like to think of this as a team. It's like wearing a jersey to school on game day, but we as Christians, we wear a jersey every day. It's almost like getting caught running in the hallway with your team jersey on and coach finding out. They might give you a second chance, but if you don't fix it, you have a consequence. Like that in our Christian walk, we may fall from time to time, but we have to be confident because we might. We have forgiveness for sin. See, our duty is to be loyal and faithful, just how we are to be to our fellow teammates or Christians. For us Christians, we have to be faithful. For me, this falls into three categories. One, you have to love all people. Two, you have to do what's right. And three, you have to know that God's words are one more powerful. Loving all people is important. We as Christians can't just go out into the world and see a person with tattoos and piercings all over the body and just shun them. We have to look past the physical features. In Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, Go therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, our duty as a Christian is to spread the word. By doing that, we must treat others the same way we want to be treated. Doing what's right is pretty much common sense. It goes back to the Old Testament where Moses was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Now the commandments are the old law and were followed back to the Old Testament. But the stuff from the Ten Commandments has strong ethical principles like those principles and commands found in the New Testament. So doing what's right is not committing adultery, not saying the Lord's name in vain from the horn. Lastly, we have to understand that all works by God happen at a certain time and a place for a certain purpose. In John 3:16, it says, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son down from heaven to die on the cross for our sin. So it just makes sense that we repay his favor and give all that we do. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here today. I want to thank again Mr. BJ, Mr. Ruiz, and the eldership for allowing me to present my lesson tonight. Thank you for your time.
Research indicates that a person that daydreams, they daydream one-third to one-half of their waking hours while they're daydreaming. Now you see, for children, it's at school. And for adults, it's at work. But I believe that Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, what we need to be focused on. That's Philippians chapter 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, as we begin a new school year, or as a work year is about to begin, there might be times that you want to daydream. And as the world continues to ignore God's principles, how do we keep focus on what Paul advises? True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, a good reputation. I believe there are three things that we can do to help us stay focused. Number one, scripture. Number two, praying. Number three is our actions, what we do with our life that God has given us. The first one is scripture. But why do we need scripture? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17, the It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word has everything we need in life, this one, and the one that's after. The Bible even tells us the ending and how amazing it's going to be if we only obey and follow his words. In Psalm, the 119th chapter, verse 97, it says, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. We are reminded that God's word is what we need to meditate all day. Not how many weeks until fall break, not that amazing tackle I'm going to make on Friday night game. Not what I'm having for supper, or what girl is going to be in my next. You see, now there's many things that people enjoy in life. Maybe it's math. For me it's math, for others it can be reading. And you see, when I love math as much as I do, I hate it when I get a homework assignment. My teacher tells me, you gotta do 20 problems. I tell my mom, it's okay, nothing big. But you see, the people in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we are told that the Bereans, that when they heard God's word, they were rejoicing. They were thanking Paul for teaching them it. But why am I not rejoicing of the homework assignment that I'm given? See, we need to view God's word not as a thing that we just do to go about the motions, but as a commandment, as a call that we are called to do. Finally, talking about scripture, when those temptations come up through your day that I was talking about, Walter Mitty situations, when those situations come up, we need to react to them as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. When he was being tempted and responded to the devil's temptation with scripture, it is written. See, the next point I want to talk about is prayer. Being that both my parents have worked outside jobs for as long as I can remember, therefore I've had a phone for a number of years. And my mom has constantly reminded me that that phone is not for my benefit, but for those. Texting my friends is just a bonus. So when I get those phone calls, I better answer. By the third one, I better be at the spot that I told them I would be, or there's going to be consequences. Unfortunately, I found out on several occasions what those consequences will be. They have been harmful to my social life. But more important than my social life is the communication we have with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, to pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. It'd be difficult to be talking to God throughout our day and engaging in careless thoughts. If we can keep in communication with God by thanking him and asking for help, there'd be less chance of wondering where our mind doesn't need to wander. Many people think when you pray that you have to close your eyes, hold your hands together, and get down on your knee. That is not what we are told in scripture. See, to pray, you can do it driving down the road, both hands on the steering wheel, eyes wide open. It's not where your physical body is. It's where your mind and heart is when you do that action. That brings me to my next point, and my final one, actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, one that many of us might know, tells us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. But negative thoughts can lead to trouble all by ourselves. There's a children's song, Oh Be Careful Little Eyes, that is useful to remind us daily how we should guard ourselves. It goes, Oh Be Careful Little Eyes What You See. How? What you see, if you do not want your parents, your grandparents, or fellow Christians to see what you are seeing, why would you want God that sees everything that you see? The next verse says, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. The music, the TV, your friends, do they say what is right, or are they false teaching? Are they telling you something that goes against what God has told us? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Many people take their abilities for granted. They think, I have these abilities, I can do what I want with them. But really, we're supposed to do what God has commanded us. He has given the abilities to us to replenish and to rebuild the church. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. See, this is one that many people might struggle with. At times I've struggled with it. Walking into a friend's house when I know that something bad is going to happen. Maybe they get into drinking. But maybe other people just walk into a bar to meet up with people. But why would you walk into some place if you can't walk in there with your parents or with your friends? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. The final verse, I think, is a very touching one on many people's hearts. Many times I have been wrong with this. Saying something when I'm mad or when I'm just frustrated about something, that was not right. Proverbs 21:23 tells us, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves with clarity. We get told that we need to guard our mouths. We need to watch what we say. And then the chorus goes, there's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful. See, Psalms 101 and 3 through 7 tells us, pretty much sums all this up. But I just want to hit on a couple of those points. So the first one is 3 and 4 of Psalm 101. It says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. Shall not cling to me. The preserved heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And as you go down to verse 7, it says, He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Finally, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7, it says, much dreaming and many words are meaningless, therefore, no guidance. It is a human nature to daydream, to escape a situation that's been brought in front of you. Of course, not all daydreaming is bad. It leads to dangerous thoughts. Some might help you get out of that situation. But I'm confident that I will. Let's see, dreams can also give you hope. Like, I dream that I'm going to grow another 5 inches and be a starting lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we all have those dreams that might not ever come true. Hopefully it doesn't. But dreams are just a chance to look at what may be. However, as Christians, we have a hope that we are for sure not what may be, but what will be. You see, many people ask the question, what might I do today? But as Christians, we need to ask the question, what will we do today for God? To ensure that our thoughts guide us to a closer relationship with God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 52-53, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Ultimately, he lived an ordinary, perhaps boring life, and he used his daydreams to escape them. Philippians 3:20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, as people that live in America, they say, I'm an American citizen. My treasures are laid up in America, as citizenship is. But as Christians, we're the same way. Our treasures are not laid up in America. They are laid up in heaven. We are just passing through on this earth. One of my favorite songs, this world is not my home. The first verse says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I hope you haven't daydreamed too much through my lesson today. But I hope that you have been reminded of the best reality we have as Christians, a new body, an eternity with God if we choose to obey Him. Maybe tonight you have realized that you have been daydreaming through your life. You have been trying to escape the trials that God has put in front of you to see if you are faithful. You need the prayers of the congregation tonight. Or maybe you have not put on Jesus in baptism, because you're scared of the trials that might come. Maybe you have not accepted the reality yet. If there's anything you need, if you'll please come forward as we stand and sing.